Whoa, feedback.
All right, let's try this.
This is the voiceover for Comedian Movie Trailer. Take one.
In a world where laughter was king.
No in a world, Jack.
What do you mean, no in a world?
It's not that kind of movie.
Oh? Okay. In a land that...
No in a land either.
In a time...
Nah, I don't think so.
In a land before time.
It's about a comedian, Jack.
One man.
No.
When your life is no longer your own.
What does that mean?
When everything you know is wrong.
That's wrong.
In an outpost.
No.
On the edge of space.
No space.
A girl.
No.
Two girls.
No.
Now.
No.
More than ever.
Stop it.
A renegade cop.
I hate you.
A robot renegade cop.
You're fired.
You're fired.
No, you're actually fired.
I'm fired.
Get out of the booth, Jack.
No. I like it in here.
Oh, I would totally fire that guy, too. I think that was who was running our controls. Hey, here's what I'm thinking. We got this whole trading thing kind of nailed. You want to write a rock opera about it?
A rock opera?
Yeah. I mean, nobody's doing it anymore. Queen, they did it. They did it well, but then nobody's, you know, been willing to approach it since. I mean, I'm no Freddie Mercury, but I'm just saying, we could totally write a rock opera about day trading E-mini futures. Give it some thought, and let's do radio. The stuff that made us famous. 3, 2, 1, roll 'em.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Borth. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon, friends. Welcome back. Today's Thursday, 9th day of June, 2011. Let's have a quick look at the numbers. The Dow's up 132 points. S&P is up 13.75 points. The COMP is up 15. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
It seems as though we just spoke.
It does. It seems like we were just speaking to each other 15 minutes ago.
My life is like a rock opera. I'm telling you. You know, it's a popular misconception in the world today. People think it's easy being Dwayne Reeves. I just want to tell you, it's not. okay? It's not easy. So, yeah, got that off my chest.
Yeah, today in particular, right?
Today in particular, but...
But it's...
But... Who's that? Is that David Williams? That was David Williams. But it wasn't the regular David Williams. It was like the Twilight Zone version of his voice, David Williams.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Interesting. Mm.
Okay, it's 9/11 in Phoenix, Arizona, 9/11. Do you ever find yourself noticing unusual times on the clock?
No.
Okay, I got news for you. From this moment forward, you will.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that.
You will, buddy. Every time it's 9/11, you'll see it. When it's 1/11, you'll see it. And, yeah, I mean, you can't unring that bell. I did.
Nope.
For everyone in the
9/11.
Audience, you're all going to start noticing unusual times. And you're going to report back here to this radio program. You're going to go, man, how'd you do that? Yeah. I didn't do it.
And I was with F-111s in the Air Force. So, got 111 there.
Yeah.
Interesting
stuff. The F's a problem. Here's an interesting question. On a digital clock, say in your car, how many times does the same time repeat in a 24-hour period? Oh, wait, is that how that goes? You know what? I think I messed that up. Let me get the riddle right, and I'll come back tomorrow. And we'll pretend I never mentioned it today. Okay?
Okay.
Can I do that?
All right.
Guys, we're looking at corn. Sweet corn. Really sweet corn. We got this trade here today. Now, here, I showed up late for work. I had issues. I texted ahead. I think I did. I may have never hit send. That's how hectic it was. But anyway, on the corn, I managed to get in here, and then it ran to here. Now, in the interest of full transparency and disclosure, I didn't get it all. So, but there was plenty to get. Let's have a look at just how much there was to get. The entry was down at 780, and it ran up to 787. So, or almost 788. So there was, it was an 8 cent move, kind of like there was an 8 cent move yesterday. So I got part of it, and I was happy with that. And then we had a pullback, then we put in a lower high. Oh, remember we were talking about the break of that low right there?
Yes. Yes, we were.
We certainly
were. I remember talking about that.
We talked about it. We said, hey, what if price broke that low? I didn't take the trade. We just discussed it. We said, what if? Because the bigger range, of course, is defined by here and even here. So, do you have a corn trade on right now?
I have two corn trades on right now.
You're in the fields as we speak. Okay.
They're not live. They're orders just waiting.
They're in the hopper. Okay.
In the hopper.
All right.
I believe. Let me just check. Yeah, I have 188.25. I have a buy stop. Actually, I don't have a sell stop in anywhere. I just have a buy stop in at 88.25 if we get up there. That is what I have.
Yeah. I mean, this original area I was thinking about for a buy stop, I really liked. I mean, a sell stop, I really liked that. But, I kind of like this. Well, we'll see. All right, what other markets should we talk? Was there any news out today? Was there any news releases?
There was. It was pre-market news and news at the top of the hour at 10 o'clock. Let's see, there were continuing claims and initial claims came out this morning. Give me just a second, and I will tell you exactly what they were. Hang on, I'm almost there. I had that page open. All right, we had initial claims. The consensus on the initial claims was 423,000. The actual was 427,000. Bad news again. Continuing claims consensus was 3.68 million. The actual was 3.676 million. That's pretty much what they expected. Still not better than they expected. So, trade balance consensus was minus 48.7 billion, and the actual was minus 43.7 billion. Wholesale inventories, the consensus was plus 0.9%, and the actual was plus 0.8%. All right. that is what we had today.
So nothing really good there.
No, nothing great, nothing earth-shattering.
But the markets, well, let's look at the S&P. We'll go there, we'll go look at an hourly chart. Now, there was a tweet last night to get us short if we had traded down below this area, but we never did. And so that order obviously never got triggered in. And I didn't back that up with a potential long, you know, could have. I did that on a couple of markets. There was a couple, I'll have to go look at the tweets. There was a couple that said, you know, whichever comes first. And so I'll go look and see. I think the YM was one of those. I'll look at the tweets here in a minute. But here's price. Yesterday, this is really interesting. I had drawn this trend line during the show yesterday. Okay? And then price crashed down through the trend line, okay, which was good for a move. Then price ran back up to the trend line, okay. It closed down here, opened here, ran back to here. And when it ran back to here, I drew this line because now what happened is we broke through the trend line. Price is now hitting the back side of the trend line. So that's why I drew that line right there. And when price hit the back side of that trend line, it fell off. And then we put in this little bottom here. And from there, things slowly but steadily improved on the overnight. A little consolidation across here. And in the face of the not-so-good news that Michael just shared with everyone, the markets have traded higher. And in the live trading room, we were looking at the ES. I was expecting a move, a potential failure up in, let's see, what neighborhood was that? Yeah, we've already moved above that. Now, in the live trading room, we said, I kept saying, I like this potential short setup, but it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. And, see, that's where patience really can become your friend. I mean, you can front run a trade. Well, I want to get a better price. You can hang all kinds of names and labels on that thing. But if whatever it is you use to get you into a trade has not yet gotten you into a trade, I mean, isn't that why you use the thing? Because, right? We always,
yeah.
You know, we invent some clever thing that says, okay, when this and this happens, or when it looks like this or smells like that, that's when you go long or that's when you go short. And so, instead of just waiting for it to look like that or smell like that, we go, I think it's about to look like that, so let me just go ahead and get in now. And then we walk around with these black eyes, and we're like, man, what happened? You know, we're like some rope-a-dope boxer who, you know, why do I keep getting beat up, banged up, knocked down, knocked out? Just whatever you've planned, whatever you've put together, hopefully that's your. Hopefully, as David likes to say, he always, you know, only puts out his best work. Hopefully, whatever you're using to trade with, whatever you've put together for your indicators, methodology, whatever it is, hopefully it's your best work. And if you're using like our indicators, for instance, or the information that David disseminates or that Mike Reed might disseminate, then you're using that to the best of your ability in the best way. And if you're not, then when you ask yourself that question, why does this keep happening to me? That might be part of the answer. I mean, it might be. Just, you know, give that some thought. Right. What next? What next?
Good stuff. What else did we discuss this morning? We discussed soybeans and corn. You know, soybeans compared to corn. You get more bang for your buck with the corn.
Yeah.
You know, they trade similarly. Corn's actually got more volume, I think, right? Doesn't it? Did wheat have the most volume?
Well, Bert said corn, then beans, then wheat. Now, I think liquidity was part of that. Margins was part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely corn.
And
corn's
price
got
action
way more than everything else. I need to update my thing. Oh, another thing that's important to note that we noted this morning. What day is today?
Thursday, June 8th.
That is right. The important part of that is Thursday. World War.
Oh, you know what? We did not even talk about rollover yesterday. Today is the quote-unquote official rollover day. And so what does that mean, official rollover day? Well, some data providers, some charting platforms give you a continuous symbol. In other words, you never have to worry about changing the contract date. It automatically rolls over. And if you're using one of those platforms or using a continuous symbol on this platform, then it rolled over today. Correct?
Correct.
Is there a continuous symbol? Is there a continuous symbol on the DT Pro platform?
I don't think so.
I don't think there is. There's a... Bert had some symbol up one day. Oh, that must have been the pit traded session or something. Anyway. Okay, so there is no continuous symbol here. But in some platforms there are, and so if the price you're seeing right now on your chart does not match the price on my chart, that's because you may be using a continuous symbol, which has already rolled over, and I've not yet rolled my chart over. When will you roll your chart over, Michael? So we got to do it on the same day.
When the volume of the new contract exceeds the volume of the current contract.
And we anticipate that being about next Friday?
No, it should happen maybe
Tuesday?
Even tomorrow.
Really?
It could happen tomorrow. Yeah, the volume on the new contract right now is 578,000. 578,000, and the volume on the old contract. Give me just a second here, I'll tell you.
Yeah. I'm getting my volume off the old contract. That's what I've got, 578. Okay.
No, that's the new contract.
The new contract. I'm sorry. Yeah, because this platform I'm looking at over here has already rolled over.
Yeah, the old contract has got 1.1 million right
1.1.
now.
1.1. Okay. All right.
So tomorrow that'll
so
probably
So tomorrow, Monday definitely.
Around.
You know,
yep.
Probably tomorrow, Monday definitely. Okay. All right. So everybody, and the symbol is U, correct? September?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, September would be U, and then Z would be the final one.
So up here, guys, it'll say ESU1. Going into tomorrow. I guess I'll roll it over tonight, and we'll just, do you want to agree on that? We'll just be trading the new contract tomorrow? Because I don't want to have your charts on one thing and mine on another.
No, we got to agree on being on the
freak everybody
one.
Out.
Yeah, I guess we can. We can roll it tonight.
Okay.
I'm just thinking we have a lot going on tonight. You know, do you want to wait until we see what the volume's like tomorrow?
Sure,
and then we can
you know
do
what,
it
what's one more day? I mean, really?
Yeah.
I can do that. And if we decide tomorrow, maybe during the radio broadcast, if the volumes equal out, we could switch it during the live radio broadcast.
Yeah.
There might even be some people in the audience who've never had to do rollover. I mean, with the DT Pro platform, it's kind of simple. It's like a one mouse click. You go to...
Yes. Roll forward.
Where is that? Where do they have that button?
Hang on.
Right here. Under view. See, guys, right there. Roll forward.
Yeah, view. Roll forward.
Da da da.
Roll forward. And if I roll it forward,
da da da.
At some point, see it roll. It should roll forward.
Da da da. No, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently my button's not working.
Just type it in.
I'll just wait till tomorrow.
ES. Just type on the chart. ES, and then you'll see U is the next one.
ESU1. We'll see what it looks like. Come on down. There we go. There's ESU1.
5 points lower.
Hey, Mike Reed in the house. Brother, how are you, man?
How you doing, Dwayne?
Wow, it has been too long. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Mike.
What's been going on?
How are you guys? All right. How are you doing, Mike?
Good, Michael.
Good. Good to hear.
Well, Mike, what do you think?
Wait, I've been meaning to get a hold of you, but things have been destroyed. You know, I'm pretty busy, so my apologies.
No, man. No, I understand.
Oh, good.
Quite a week, huh?
Yeah, so
it has
far
been.
So.
Give us your thoughts on the week, Mike, and
Well, until today, it was just, it was obvious that all the, it seemed obvious that all the balances were sold, and finally we got our oversold balance here today. And this is, I got to 1288.5 for key resistance today. And now we need to hold over 1285.84.5 to stay in this trend up move. On the week, wow, well, we can go all the way back to the Bin Laden high, I guess. Had a sharp breakdown from there. Market got oversold. Got a decent rally back. Market got overbought. And that was right before this last sharp down. Market got oversold and stayed oversold. Now we had a string of almost 6 days, I think, in a row where the closing trend was above 1.05 or thereabouts, which is very rare. And this bounce here was overdue. So I think we got a lot of, cleaned out a lot of shorts here on this move. And it's going to be, we should have a big up day, and then this tries to sort itself out and then come back down again. I think this might last maybe a day, maybe until tomorrow sometime. But sentiment in this rally, again, turned bullish on a dime, and I don't think that everything's, it did quite a bit of damage. It's just going to take a while to undo that. Just kind of see everyone get, see the complacency come right back is not really a good sign for. So I think this is just kind of a counter trend bounce, and it could go up to 1288.5, and they get above that, and we could get another push up towards. Let me see, we're on a new contract, so the right around 1292 area, I guess, would be the next and probably last area around there.
Have you already rolled over, Mike?
Yeah.
Did you?
Okay. We rolled over coming into today.
So okay.
New front month. Wasn't going to. It was late. I'm late, and I hear what the heck.
Yeah, we just checked volume, and we've got like a million in the old contract, $500,000 roughly in the new.
Yeah. So, you know, it really wouldn't matter this first day. It doesn't really matter really till next week, I guess. But went ahead and went with the front month. What are you guys looking at here?
Well, 1288, you mentioned that was a key number earlier in the week, which kind of got this whole sell-off in motion. And then this number right here, where the market put in this little double bottom, that is held. And, you know, overhead, I can see the market trading. If we can maintain, you know, the momentum here, we could see, I suppose, 1300 on the upside. That's an area. And below us, you know, if we just cleared an important area for us, or we're in the process of clearing it. So if this move up holds, if it doesn't fail here, then I'll try to trade this on the long side this afternoon. I just need some, so far looking at this hourly candle, the way price is retraced from that high it put in, I'm not anxious to jump in here and get long, but it's mm-hmm. a possibility. As far as a bigger picture, I don't know. We've been, you know, it's been a rough past couple weeks. So, I mean, and they're starting to throw around the historic figures on, you know, however many weeks it's been or days since there was a positive close and all these other things. So, yeah, should be some kind of bounce out of here.
I should know.
You know, if is this it? I hope not. I mean, look left and what was that high? 1295. I mean, the market failed really hard off of that. It tried to take out. Let's see. Today's Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday. We couldn't take out Monday's high.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we failed. We got a couple ticks above the intraday high here, or the opening high, and failed. And then, so this area right here, what is it, 1295.50? That's going to be really important. And then above that, this number 1298 is going to be really important. But then, mm-hmm. with the rolling over of the contracts, those numbers change. So
they're about 5.5 points below, I believe.
So once I roll it over tomorrow, I'll just have to go and draw, you know, those important swing highs and swing lows, redraw them against the new numbers. But I think everyone understands that's kind of the areas that we need to get through. Other than that, I have no long-term projections. We have the last couple of weeks, Mike, since we last talked to you. We've been trading corn. And have you ever looked at the corn market?
Corn? Yeah, I traded corn, I think, one time.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, by no means any, it's like a new market, you know, totally new to me, but only on one trade back, I don't know, several months ago, but not something I trade on a regular basis.
Apparently, this is the season to be trading it. We've just seen the last 2 weeks some really nice moves, like right here, there's an 8-cent move up this morning. That's equivalent to 8 points in the ES, $50 per penny. And it's like once it gets going, it can actually, you know, kind of go somewhere. And it mm-hmm. was limit up yesterday, and then it went locked up this morning. Did it limit up this morning, Michael B?
It didn't limit up. It almost limited up.
Almost.
30 cents is the limit. It almost made the limit.
Yeah, they stopped buying so they could continue to play. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yesterday they limited it up.
They shut themselves down.
During the show.
Hmm. Well, limit up moves are crazy in the commodities.
Mike Reed, are you on a tight schedule here time wise? Because I want to bring David on here because I know he always likes to say hi to you. You got to go?
I have about 10 minutes, but certainly would like to.
Well, because I know Michael's going to have to go in a few minutes, and he was just getting ready to get into Thursday and why Thursday's important. So you want to hit that, Michael, and then I'll bring David on, and then at least he can say hi to Mike Reed because he keeps asking me about you, Mike, how you doing and all that. So.
All right. Well, there's a couple of things for Thursday. This particular Thursday is important because it's the start of the rollover day. And again, let me just go through what that means. The new contract becomes available today. That means you have until next week, next Thursday, to get out of the old contract. All right. So for a week, we're in like rollover period. But you'll see the volume start to move off of the old contract and into the new contract more tomorrow than today. Most people today are probably still on the old contract unless they're on a continuous contract, as Dwayne had described earlier. Then they're automatically switched to the new one. And another good thing about Thursdays is it is our community workshop night. So for anybody that's out there that's on the fence, there's the bell, community workshop night, 9 to 10 p.m. tonight. All partners, all the partners is a partners only workshop, okay? And tonight, in this particular workshop, I hope to be distributing the new CF Elbow Indicator. Now, putting it in the store for the first time, I think, and possibly leaving it in the store. That is my hope for tonight. And anybody that's on the fence, you know, you really want to be in the partners meetings. You know, we go over a lot of stuff that, you know, that I think is good to pick up. I know, you know, some of our guys, George, for instance, picked something up three or four weeks ago, and he's making consistent profits daily using that. So there's a good reason to go into those community workshops. We do record them for the partners, and they're available in the members area for the partners once you become a partner, of course. So if anybody has any questions about that, need anything answered to help you make a decision one way or another, you can email me at tech, that's T-E-C-H, at cfrn.net. If you want me to give you a call, just put your phone number in there, and I'll give you a call. All right, that's tech, T-E-C-H, at cfrn.net. All right, back to you.
And you can always call 602-235-0384. 602-235-0384. Yes, you will get voicemail. Leave a message, and one of us will get back to you. If you have a platform-specific question, you need to get your account open, or you need to get your demo or your simulator going, you can call Bert and Leslie, 866-928-3310. Okay. All right, with that, we'll take a very short break. Don't run away, Mike Reed. We'll be right back with David Williams.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Mike Reed. Nice to hear you on the radio and hear that you're up and around. Welcome back.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, and good morning, Michael Bork.
Good morning, David Williams.
So, Mike Reed, let's get right into it. How the hell are you?
Never better, David. Never better.
Really? Oh, that's wonderful. I'm really glad to hear that.
For today. One day at a time, my friend.
No, that's me too. I'm living my day one day at a time. I've already figured out that there's no other alternative. So,
yeah, <you're> right.
You know.
Hey, you have a nice intro there, right?
I do have. You mean with the Wild Wild West music?
You betcha.
I know. Dwayne was. I don't know where we started that, but I think it's because I loved the Wild Wild West program when we used to talk about it on the show until it really angered people. So finally, we don't talk about Wild Wild West anymore, but we play the theme song, and it just makes me happy. I don't know. It just
yeah.
You know, aren't there some theme songs that make you happy?
That's a good one. Yeah. So did you buy the jacket?
No, I didn't buy the jacket. I seriously, I suppose I ought to, and I don't know if it's still for sale or not, but. I haven't bought the jacket yet. It does seem like a reasonable thing to have because it means that show, I'll tell you this, this as well as anybody, that the TV programs that we loved, we didn't just love the TV program, we loved what it represented to us at that time in our life. We had a wonderful, either you had a really nice childhood or just something nice memories of your life at that time, being young, wide open spaces, all that stuff. And here was this program that you really liked. It really meant something. So, and there's a number of programs like that that were on. But Wild Wild West was one of my favorites because it was such a strange concoction of sort of almost space age Western, which is a very unusual combination. And another very unusual thing about the program, I'm just not going to get into it big, but if you take a look at it, it was directed by a number of different directors throughout its whole run. Many, many different directors, different guys' names. And yet the show still had the same flavor and it was really good each time. I don't know how they did that. And of course, Ross Martin and James West, you know, they were just great together. So, anyway. Did you ever tell us your favorite show or no, Michael?
I was one of them. I got the collector's edition. Still going through that.
Well, you've never invited me over to sit around and eat popcorn and watch it. I don't even have the collector's edition. You must be doing well in trading, because I mean, anybody who has the collector's edition, you know, that's a sign of both inner and outer wealth.
Well, and you know, you and I are stuck in bed.
Well, the collector's edition is a big thing. I mean, I'm waiting for the invitation. Where do you live, by the way?
You got a trip to come in, Fort Wayne, Indiana. So.
Oh, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Okay, yeah. A little bit of a trip, but
yeah.
I don't know. You know, if we had
a four-day
weekend, we could watch them all.
Yeah. I've made it from Fort Wayne to Las Vegas, so it's doable.
It is doable, I'm sure. I don't know how far that is, but that's Midwest, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
that's not
too far from Chicago.
So you're on Chicago time.
Well, no.
No.
We're in Indiana, so we do things goofy here. We used to switch back and forth between Eastern and Chicago time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what happens out there in Arizona, right, Dwayne?
Yes.
Arizona doesn't change.
It does not.
Oh.
But we're doing
it. We didn't. We would stay with the same time year-round, but on our clock would never change.
Yeah.
We would go from Central to Eastern and back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been changed around to where we stay Eastern year-round, which I really don't like at all.
Mm-hmm. I think Arizona is doing the same thing, where they just stay on one time and everybody else changes. I'm not sure if I remember correctly. Dwayne, you might know this, but wasn't the whole time change related to farming? Did it have something to do with farming or no?
You know, my understanding is that it had to do with saving energy. It came out of remember the long gas lines in the 70s?
Mm-hmm.
When gas prices went up and they...
I'm looking forward to that again in the near future with our current administration, but please go ahead.
Yeah. And someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the time change has to do with, number one, saving energy, and number two, helping us to be more productive as a people, as a nation.
Okay.
So,
I wonder if it's still working that way. I wonder if that still is servicing us well.
Well, it must be because they increased it. I mean, we have more daylight savings time now than we used to.
Okay.
It used to be, the year used to be kind of split up, almost half and half. But now, we only get like 3 months. I get to sleep in like 3 months. Then the market opens here at 7:30 my time. Right now, the market's open at 6:30 my time.
Mm-hmm.
And your time too, as well.
Does sometimes when you want to know what time it is, sometimes is all that hair kind of in the way a little bit, and you might not know what time it is because you have to sweep the hair aside, or is that ever an issue?
No, funny you should mention that. But this morning, along with everything else that went sideways, my brush got tangled in my luxurious mane. And
yes, you have luxurious hair. There's no question. I would label it luxurious.
Oh me. All right.
Luxurious mane. I like that.
A luxurious mane, yeah. That's only from Dwayne would you get that kind of comment about his own hair. That's funny. No.
Hey, David Williams, Michael Bork and I have decided to write a rock opera about day trading the E-minis. Would you like to co-write?
I would love to co-write it, and I'd love to play guitar on it as well, and perhaps we could have Mike Reed sing.
I think that would
be something we could do.
You have a very nice voice, Mike Reed. That would be good.
I'm going to have to rap, David.
You're going to rap?
Maybe rap. Okay, that's good, yeah. Mike has agreed to do it, but only his agent has specified it can only be rap. That's really funny. That's a good one. You know, that's funny
rap
you say
opera.
That, though, Dwayne, because I picture Michael Bork kind of like a rock opera. That's a very 80s thing, or even 70s thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I picture him, Michael, I could see you doing something like that. You know, that's not I'm not slighting you in any way. You actually remind me of somebody in some ways that would be probably very good at that, if you put your mind to it.
If I put my mind to it. And I have
you can
time.
Do anything you put your mind to, Michael Bork.
I can. I know that.
I know that.
But if I had the time. Time is the thing.
Well, but see, Michael, you're letting yourself off the hook there. If you put your mind to having the time, then you can have the time as well. You can do anything you put your mind to, Michael Bork.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
I don't disagree with that.
Now, me and Mike Reed, we have a little couple problems. We're not quite that good. You know, you, Michael Bork, you can put your mind to anything and do anything. I know that. I don't know.
To some degree, anyway.
Michael, did you get triggered in on that corn trade?
I just got triggered in on it. Yes, I did. I'm long corn right now at 788.25.
There you are. You guys are just alive today, trading and in and out of the markets.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
success.
I was
That's
writing
what we want.
Lyrics, so I missed that trade.
I put it on at the end of the morning session, and I just heard it ring the bell, and I checked it, and we broke out of it. So hopefully it'll work out.
No, that's great. I hope it does. It's one of the great things about the market is that they exist, and if you can trade them, you can make some money.
Yeah, this corn is just gorgeous. 8 cent move up this morning, a little complex pullback, and now it just ran another. Well,
I told you guys that June 7th would mark, plus or minus a day, would mark a very important bottom in corn for a very tradable advance up. And, you know, you guys would just listen to me. Gosh.
Well, we did.
Dude.
In fact, oh, you did. Yeah. Yes, Michael.
I'm sorry to butt in here.
No, go ahead.
I'm game to listen. Well, I need to go here soon, so I'm game to listen to your S&P outlook here. What's shaking?
Oh. Well, you had to pick the one market that I don't have anything to say on. No, I'll say something. You know me. How am I not have anything to say about it?
Nothing to say on that?
The universe has imploded. Why? Because Dave has nothing to say about the S&P. No. I would be very interested to see what I have to say about the S&P as well. But no, Dwayne, this is no. We will, Michael. And listen, if you have to go, I'm delighted to have you on. We would like to have you on more often. I mean, with your, you know, if you're up for it and everything else, we'd like to have you on. So, are you leaving right now, or are you?
Now he wants to hear what you got to say about the S&P. Please.
Well. Well, I got to warm up for that. I'm working around it here. Let's see.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. He played the theme song again. Well. Okay, thank you, Dwayne. All right, in order to give Michael the full thing, we have to go back a little bit in time. Let's very briefly. We had called for a May 2nd, plus or minus 1 week, weekly top. And for the market then to decline, for a multi-week decline. And the market has had this multi-week decline. From that point forward, we then called for a bottom, which would have been due a few days or a day or so ago. And with the caveat, though, that the market had to close above 88, which I think, Michael Reed, this was one of your numbers as well, 1288. They had to close above 1288 in order for that bottom to be valid, because we knew that the weekly was pressing down on the market. If they closed below it, that would indicate lower prices. And they did close below it on a couple days back. And then that sent the prices lower, and we have gone down to as low as, it depends on which contract you're looking at, but let's just for the sake of today, let's just use the old contract. They came very close. They went down to 1275.25. The natural target on the downside is a little bit lower than that. But if they do retest, because we're ending the week here, if we were to retest next week the 75 level or go lower, that will set us up for a weekly bottom. So the market will have traded from a weekly top on May 2nd. all the way down to a weekly bottom. And in reflected wave, we call that the Mona Lisa trade, because you're going from an equal size time frame, a weekly top, all the way down to a weekly bottom. The same thing would be true for like a daily top or a daily bottom. We call it Mona Lisa because the market is going to give you that whole swing. You know, if you're a skilled trader, you can trade that whole swing from top to bottom. You might be out of most of your positions by the time that equal size time frame, you know, gets put in. But it's a beautiful thing, and we're very, very close. We've come within 2.5 points of completing what we would normally call the Mona Lisa trade, which is, in this case, would be the weekly top to a weekly bottom. So my preference would be for them to retest and to set us up for a weekly bottom into next week. That's what my preference would be for the S&P. I know that's not a forecast, that's not an outright forecast, but that's what my preference would be. And right now, if we're talking immediately, if you don't mind, we'll switch over to the September contract. They did go up and test in September. Remember, this is September. We have 87, which is an important upside target for September, and they've reached that. They've gone to 87.50. We may sell against that level a little bit later today if we can get a retest, or maybe a little bit lower, to just for a day trade. Today's session has been very quiet.
So you're already trading in the September contract?
We are, because unlike people who write rock operas for a living, we try to switch over on the rollover day, which is today, and I'm just being facetious when I say that.
It makes sense, because I'm sure a lot of your customers or clients are on platforms that use
automatically switch
automatic rollover, and so it would be perplexing for them.
Right.
To
the market, Michael Bork is correct that the volume isn't immediately all in on obviously on the new contract, but it starts to switch over. And it takes a little time sometimes for that to happen. And I agree with him that a person could trade all the way through today on June if he wanted to, and then trade into start trading in September tomorrow. The thing about trading about the rollover is that if you use a lot of charts of many different time frames, et cetera, you have your work cut out for you every 3 months, and you have to do this. And I've been doing this, you know, the longest trader on the radio station with us is Mike Reed. Where are you at, Michael? 27, 28? Where are you at?
Oh, boy. I started in 82, so...
Okay, well, I can do the math for you. It's 2011 minus 1982, so it's 29 years. How old are you, Michael?
53.
Okay, well, you're trying to catch up with me, and I'm 54, but you'll never do it. You'll never
do it. Never do it.
You know, it's rare that you'll hear anyone of anyone being a trader for that long.
No, I don't know anybody that's been a trader for that long. And I'm in it since late 1990, so 2011 minus, just call it 1990, but last few months have been about 21 years. So you are the most, you're the elder of the group.
I'm going to guess you must be doing something right.
No, you're the elder. We look to you for wisdom. We look to you for encouragement. We look to you for Wild West series being purchased in full rather than individual, you know, ones being bought for 1995 and they keep billing you until you cancel. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
You get it all at once.
Leslie's been at it 25 years, so she's second in command here.
Who is 25?
Leslie.
Wow. That's pretty impressive, too. 25 years is a long time to be in. Anyway, so that's about it. We've right now having the rollover underway. I don't have any initial big forecast, but I would say this, that the current hour that we're in, if it were to make a new high or pull back, we're very close in today's session. And again, I just want to preface this that since we're in the new contract, some of the indications can be a little bit off until the full volume is there. So Michael Bork is very correct about when he said this. But basically, in the next hour, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, in the fifth hour today, that is the next important, this is just a very general statement, turning point for the market. And so I would be looking to trade in that period of time. if the market gives me a signal to do so here. So we've been going up. I would tend, unless this is just going to be a runaway thing, I would tend to be a seller. But I'm going to wait for them to show us here. I'm not making any forecasts for it specifically just at this time. But I do like the idea of the, because we're in the fourth hour now, we have about 30 minutes, 34 minutes left. When they complete this fifth hour, or even if we were to go up and make a new high and fail in the fourth hour, I would tend to use that as a 1 hour early to start shorting the market to potentially be in for a very tradable decline off of that high. So I'm watching the market closer here for that type of setup. And that's about all I really have short term.
Let me ask you a question, please.
I agree with that.
Your fifth
really?
Hour,
okay.
Your fifth hour business there, that
yeah.
applies to either contract, June and September.
Yes, I believe it does.
Okay. Now earlier you said something, and I'm just gonna—I don't want to get into the whole natural number thing. I mean, we've discussed that.
Okay.
We'll discuss it again. But you said the—I think the normal position or something, or the natural position, however you worded it, David. I believe you said was 75. Now. Would that number, okay, 1275, if that was in fact the number you said, is that
okay.
1275 the same, does it have the same level of importance on the June contract as it does on the September contract?
Well, that's a very good question, because if you're speaking in our work, if you're speaking of actual natural numbers, which means that that's the technical analysis of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with contract months.
Okay.
But I also sometimes will use the phrase, and I apologize for this. It's not that, you know, I'm trying to be perfect and call everything exactly the right. We have a thing called the square, which is a level that the market will tend to run to. And I sometimes will call that a natural level. And when I do really talk about the technical analysis of numbers, those numbers are independent, obviously, of contract expiration. They have no meaning to contract expiration at all. They're simply numbers that are harmonically important, and that certain things will occur when any traded security reaches that level. It doesn't matter what the contract month is. So as an example, I'll give you an example. If you had a number, a very important number like the number 12, which is not important because there was 12 disciples or anything like that. I'm just taking a number like 12, and let's say that another important level, I've never explained this before, but I'm just going to say it for the purpose for people to think about this. Let's say another important level or number was 4, okay? You could take the number 12, and you could say on the fourth repetition of 12, 4 being important, 12 being important, that would be an important natural level. So if we knew that 4 was important and we knew that 12 was important when doing technical analysis on numbers, you could then say that 48 would be a very critical level. I'm just giving this as an example now, that when any security or anything reaches the number 48, because 12 is important and because 4, meaning 4 repetitions of something, 12 times 4 is 48, 48 would be an important level. So one of the things that I do is I look to use the numbers in essentially sort of in two dimensions. I'm looking at the number itself, and then I'm looking at another number that I know that number acting as a repetition, like the fourth repetition of something, repetition meaning 12, 12 is 24, another 12 is 36, another 12 is 48. The fourth repetition of that number would be a very important level. So that's sort of a two-dimensional view of technical analysis of numbers.
And is that what you mean when you refer to the harmonics of the number?
The harmonics of the number have to do with the nature of the number and what it can do. Like as an example, 12 or let's take 6 can swallow both.
I'm just curious to say harmonics. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I just needed
a fix. There a really good reason for that, or is that just...
It was a harmonica.
It's a harmonica. I get you. You are clever, Dwayne. I have new respect for people with luxurious hair, especially male.
Okay.
Three.
So
what
would
I answer?
1, 2, 3.
We get it. We get it, Dwayne. It's harmonic,
okay.
And it's a harmonica.
Got it. All right, moving on.
We got the laugh. We've been we're moving on. Okay, I just wanted to make this point. The number 6, as an example, can swallow both an odd and an even number. You can put divide 2 into it, and you can divide 3 into it. So in this work, we would consider a number that can do that a master number, a number that can swallow both odd and even numbers. So 6 and 12 are obviously that way. 5 would not be, 7 would not be, etc. 8, even though it's a nice number, can't do that same trick either. So something for people to think about when it comes to natural numbers. Now, I do want to say this about natural numbers as well. I use that not as a leading indicator, but as a backdrop to other things that we do, because it is not totally local to the market. It's something that, it's almost like astrology, where it's way out there. It's something that has value. It can have value, let's put it that way, but it's not immediately local to the market. Now, numbers, the technical analysis of the numbers, are more local than astrology because the market works with numbers. The market is moving through numbers. It's going up and down and using numbers. So it's closer than astrology. But it is not as local as, for us, spatial relationships and these other things, which are the market itself. The market is moving energy.
It's more like harmonics.
It's more like harmonic. So, like harmonic, right. You know,
Bert dared me to play it again.
I just have a question for you. Mike, do you not think that I should be the host of this show and Dwayne Lim should be like the market, the technical guy that is playing? I'm starting to think that's where we're headed.
I tried to talk you into that. I don't know, 2 years ago. Oh, no, wait a minute. You tried to talk me into that. No, wait a minute.
I tried to talk
you into that. Those negotiations broke down.
I don't know. All
right. Yeah, it's Bert.
Anyway.
Blame it on Bert. He dared me. He says, I dare you to do that again. So, there you go, Bert.
Okay.
I'm not afeard.
Okay. So, anyway, that's basically it. We're going to watch, because of rollover and Mike Reed, I would love to go into more details. I'm going to let the rollover go into a little bit more here before we have another, longer-term or overnight forecast for the S&P. I want to get through the rollover here. So, but as often as you can come on the show, it's really fun to have other people who speak a little bit more than Michael Bork does, although I know he speaks earlier. But he always goes away and does, like, his taxes or his dry cleaning or something. He always has something really important right when I get on the program. It's like, no, really, just like in the last 3 years, I'd love to be on, but today I'm going to be repairing an old vending machine that I need. It's not dispensing the Coke like it used to.
We talked for 2 hours straight.
That 1 hour Martinizing.
Yeah, I want to do the 1 hour Martinizing. Anyway.
All right, guys. I got a hop.
So all right.
I'll see you next week.
Okay.
All right,
nice to chat with you, Mike.
Good to hear from you, man.
Take care. Thanks, Dwayne.
See you soon.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Take care, Mike.
All right.
And then that strange silence fell on the room.
The strange silence. No, it's very nice to have him on.
It is.
I really like him. And,
he is. He's a great guy.
He's very dedicated to the markets and learning. And that's a big thing because the dedication to learning, I think, is a much more, it's not just that it's honorable, it's that it really helps you become a better trader. The dedication to learning, as opposed to just simply the dedication to wanting to make money, which doesn't necessarily do anything for you good. It hasn't certainly done much for me, the drive to make money. What has helped me is the drive to learn, and that has become the basis of all my trades, which is that I, you know, all the things we talked about, you know, we wanted to set up, and we want to see what we're looking for long before we think about making money. You know, it's almost, again, like for men, it's if you look at a woman and you think to yourself, God, I just can't wait to get her. I can't wait to get her home, this, that, and the other, whatever. That's, you've got that too up front. That's going to show you really have to put that completely aside and then start a very nice conversation and have a lovely little time with her.
Be a gentleman.
That's how to do it. If you put all that other stuff up front, have you ever noticed that it completely bombs? So it's the same way with the market. If you're coming
to
the market,
if it doesn't bomb, you end up with an STD. So there you go. Shame on you.
No, that's true. Now, if you have a luxurious mane of hair, you could possibly attract the woman's interest. But
and
then
play
if you
a mean
open your
blues
mouth,
harmonica.
Yeah. If you could say something like, I noticed you noticing my hair from across the room. My name is Dwayne. Something like that. You could start with a line like that. If you have luxurious hair that you let it sit in a bucket of beer for 3 hours on end to somehow make it you know, look better, because isn't beer supposed to be good for your hair, Dwayne, or something like that?
Is it true that your favorite pickup line is "Come on, baby"?
No, I don't use that. I use that for the markets when I'm in a position and it's running in my favor. I have 10 of my best things to yell at the screen, that two or three of them are very effective in helping the market get to where it's going. A "Come on, baby" is one of them.
Okay.
I've noticed that, and my first technical analysis book is going to be all about those things that I yell. The second ones will go into more detail, but the first one is going to be about what to yell at your screen when you're in a trade.
Okay.
"Come on, baby." I've made a lot of money with "Come on, baby." Seriously.
We've used it on occasion.
It's been very good for me. We've used it on the program before. Okay, so do you want to move over to a few other markets? We've got the S&P up here testing, rollover day, testing 1287. And I'm going to watch this. It's very, very quiet, so I'm not sure that it's worth trading it just yet. But as we get into closer to finishing and starting the fifth hour here anyway, I'd like to take a look at that again.
I have an interest in myself in a break of 1290, if that breaks. I mean, I'm not saying it'll break, but if it breaks.
Break on the upside?
No, break on the downside. We're at 91 and a quarter now.
Aren't we in right now trading at 1286 on the September contract?
Well, but see, I'm not on September. I'm on June.
Okay. Well, that's just wonderful for the listeners. We can all be on different months.
Well, yeah, tomorrow we'll get it. We'll straighten it out.
Oh, sure. Got all the time in the world.
Michael and I agreed that tonight we'll both roll over, because people are looking at his screens in the live trading room, and then they're looking at my screens during the live broadcast. So tomorrow we're going to both launch our new charts, because we don't use a continuous symbol on the DT Pro platform. So we're going to manually change them tonight.
Okay.
So we'll be on the same page as you tomorrow.
Okay. And everybody else. Everybody will be on it by tomorrow.
Yeah.
Any particular market you want to talk about? We could review. Let's see. So corn is up, and you're in corn right now, or are you in corn
Michael
right now?
Michael was in it. He took his risk off. Let's go look at where the market went. I don't know. He got in right about here, so I don't know how much risk he took off, if he took it all off. You still there, Mike? I think he's gone.
No, he is. Yeah, like I say, he goes away.
He may have just taken it off. It had a couple pennies in it. So, and it may go higher yet. I don't know. It's it almost went limit up today. I mean, it just barely missed the limit up move today. You can see it over here. Look at the open. See that, David?
Yes. That is.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Pretty good. Let's see. We can also take a look at soybeans, which soybeans did not yet. For today, did not go up to 1422. Not that was an outright forecast, but had they done that, that would have been an important tie-in to today. And so instead, they are trading somewhat sideways here, and this is the on-time day for a very important turning point. So right now, we've done nothing with soybeans just yet either. As you know, we had called for June 3rd to be the next important top in soybeans, and we did get a very nice sizable decline off that. Previously, we had called for an advance of about 50 cents, which started on May 31st, and they went up and did that. Then we had the top, and they pulled back. So we're now at the next date that we've talked about, which is June 9th for this particular market. And we haven't done anything with it yet, but we may still have something to do into tomorrow. So we will, of course, on your program, we'll talk about that as we do it. This may come out in the free trades if we do it, and for those of you, they can go to Daniel's Trading and talk to Bert Schlichter. He'll put you in the email list. They're still free, and you'll be able to take some trades.
866-928-3310 is Bert's number. 866-928-3310.
There you go. let's take a look around as well. There's a lot of stuff that's sort of right on the edge here. For today, one of the things that we did send out, we normally don't trade in silver, but because Bert helped me with the symbols the other day, which just sounds so silly, but I was looking at the wrong symbol. It still was the silver market, but it didn't have the liquidity And liquidity is very important because when the market doesn't have that, a lot of the little things that you're looking for don't show up because there's no trading right there. You know, the liquidity means that how much trading is going on.
What month are you
in?
And
if the trading is... for what?
Silver.
Oh, that is still July. So July is the proper month.
I'm bringing
this
it up.
Market is... We are long in this market.
Okay.
this market also had a June 9th. Remember, we've talked about looking at a number of different markets for various indications for turning points. And so that June 9th date was very important. And we're trading this because it appears that the bottom, it actually occurred as a bottom on June 8th,
mm-hmm.
which got us interested into it today. And we had long positions or messaged people with the free trades with the market somewhere around $37.20 at the time that it was messaged out. not everybody necessarily is in. Some people may have wanted to wait for a pullback. Some people may have wanted to wait for a breakout on the upside. But this would normally continue higher. And I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but if you give me just a minute.
I've got
you do?
Your forecast
okay.
right up on
what
the
is
screen.
It? And sorry, what is it?
Were you talking about your forecast?
Yeah, for the call. Yeah, here
July
we are.
July
okay,
silver
so,
update. Do you want to read it? Or?
Let's see. Okay, so June 8th was the next important daily bottom. Initial advance of approximately 99 cents has already occurred. We missed that portion of the move because the market opened up and we weren't on top of it at that moment. So there may have been 40 cents of that could have been picked up, but we didn't get it. However, further advance and a test or attempt at 38.05 or higher is indicated into next week. Therefore, July silver can be bought either at $36.30. If that level is later retested, which it probably now would not be, or the current price levels was at the time was $37.20. Conservative traders can wait for a confirmed breakout above $37.52. Confirmed normally means like an hourly close or some reasonable time frame close above that level, or as much as a daily. Any daily close below 36.18 would now negate this position. So that's the
David, I lost you.
Sorry about that. We're not experts in silver, but with the liquidity that we have from this contract, this was a compelling setup here. So we're operating on this based on what we believe is the one-day early bottom that got put in. So now, for anybody that is long in this, I like to trade these setups like we're right about them. And although we do have, you know, 20 or so cents of profit in this right now, I think it's probably wise to not start moving stops up just yet, because it would be very easy for the market to pull back and then stop you out and then continue its way up. The only thing that isn't my favorite thing about this trade is that we are indeed trading it off of a one-day early setup. And you know, we've talked so often on the program about the value mm-hmm. of the on-time and the one-day late in a cycle and how really beautiful it works and the odds go in your favor and all that. So we're trading off of a one-day early, which probably adds a little bit of, takes a little bit of the, what's the word, the likelihood of success away. That's the only thing I don't, if I had to say anything negative about this trade, but it wasn't so negative that I was excited to put this on. And so I'm happy to be in it, and I'm happy to, have others in it. I believe in it. And so if we were, it's possible that means that today could mark a top, right? And the market could then decline from here. But the fact is that we've gotten good enough indications and we're in it and we're going to trade it into tomorrow and potentially Monday, which is June 13th, I think, or let's see. Yeah, into June 13th.
You know,
so
the margin requirements on that thing are big silver. Margins $27,000.
Yeah.
Mini
yeah.
silver
for the people.
$5,400.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the real confirmation for this to really be underway, and thank you for that, actually, it's important for people to understand that the margin for silver is very high. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you have in a single position. A $21,000 position is a expensive position. The S&P exceeds that a little bit, perhaps at $25,000. But you can trade the mini version of this as well. This again is July, and the real confirmation for this will occur for conservative people who want to trade it, and you get less money at that point because you're waiting for the breakout above 37.53 or so. And we would need to see an hourly close above that. So until they give us that, an hourly or daily close above 37.53, then you have to realize that if you're holding it on the overnight, you have to either manage the risk, which means definitely place a stop wherever you want to place it, whether you're trading completely like you're right or you're moving your stop up to at least break even or whatever. And because the overnight, they could show their hand on the overnight here since we are trading off of the one day early. I want you to know, though, a number of the forecasts that we've made in the last 20 or so have been on the one day early. The bonds and some other ones have been that. And sometimes there's certain things that I'm looking for, and if I see them, I get just as excited about the thing as an on time or almost excited anyway as a one day late. So we'll see. So I like the silver. So watch that. And if you want to be conservative and make less money with more certainty, you can wait for an hourly or daily close above 37.53 and then hold that position for, you know, further advance. There's something that happens in markets. I just want to say this for the record, I guess. But a lot of times, in my particular case, very much so, I want to buy at or near critical levels, right? I want to know that the thing that makes the trade right, that we're buying near that level so that I can use that level to notify myself that we're wrong if something were to happen and the market were to go the other way for whatever reason. We didn't get it right, whatever. And our tendency as traders, at least for me, is once the trade really gets underway, I would never want to buy it way high up there, because it seems like it's vulnerable to a pullback that I could then have to sit through a much larger drawdown. But for people who've been in the markets for a long time, tell me if this is not true. That, I mean, I've seen it so many times, I know that it is true, but I'm wondering if you've seen it as well, that once these moves do get underway, you can practically buy them anywhere, and any pullbacks are very minor before those targets get hit. But we tend to not want to buy them. Like, as an example, if the market were to break out above 37.53, close above it, and then get up to, say, 37.80, and there's only, you know, 30 cents left in the potential trade, whatever that is worth. I guess that's worth, what is that? I don't know what that's worth, but whatever it's worth. and you say, well, boy, I sure wouldn't want to buy it now, because there's only 30 cents left in the trade, and we're so far above those critical levels. But I'll tell you that so many times I've seen that it's the easiest part of the trade, that the hard part of the trade is the part where they're going to go test your level and go back, and it's the critical level, and maybe everybody kind of knows it's the critical level. Whatever it is, that part is actually harder time after time than the part where the finishing run of the move gets underway, where nobody wants to be in it, and it just they just run them. So in my trading, I have thought about this many times, about the idea of just buying sort of the silly thing when it is already underway, something that I normally kind of shy away from because it's so distant from the critical levels that I initially wanted to buy from. You follow me, Dwayne? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that so many times where, gosh, that really would have been an easy place to just be long, and that's the place I'm most frightened of buying. That's the place I most definitely don't think I want to buy, and yet it's the easiest place to have been gotten into an initial position right there. So there's something about that, and I'm going to keep an eye on that over time. I've seen it for years, and I still trade the way that I normally trade. I will buy pullbacks, reflected wave pullbacks, on the way up to a, you know, important level, but I've really seen that once those moves really get underway, that almost nobody really wants to buy them there. And for some reason, that just makes the market move, you know, very easily and very smoothly, and all pullbacks are very minor at that point and all that stuff. So something for people to consider. I wonder if other people have noticed that themselves in their own way, you know, that, gosh, you know, I really struggle to get in at a good place here, but once it's up here, a place that I'd never want to buy it,
right,
it's the easiest thing in the world had I bought it. So
yeah.
something I just want to mention.
We've had a couple requests for you to...
To sing? The singing request? I would love to. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Euro.
We talked about that yesterday.
And want to know about the Euro.
Well, if it was really great, I would have done something with it today because I've been watching it as well.
Okay, there's...
Let's do this. Let me tell you that if we have it correct, and I believe we do, the June 9th date for the Euro is very important. And I'm using the all contracts, meaning this includes Globex and everything else.
I think Bert told me I should change my symbol on the Euro. Bert, did you tell me that?
You want me to play Bert? I'll just answer. Oh, there he goes. Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Did you tell me, Bert, I should change the Euro contract?
Yeah, just change it to 6EU.
Okay.
Okay. So, what I was going to say was that I'm using just so people, if they have any interest at all, I'm using the all contracts version, the Globex and everything, for the daily chart of the Euro. And having said that, I'm comfortable using that. It's nothing. I don't like to use the Globex on anything shorter than daily. But with regard to the roadmaps and that kind of thing, I'm comfortable using it in this particular market from daily on up. So now, because today is an important date for us in our work, and because the highest high that was made was back on June 7th at 146.52, and yesterday did not make a new high. Under normal conditions, therefore, we don't have to worry that there was a high, that there is likely that this is going to be a bottom in the Euro. Now, am I going to immediately go jump in and buy this now? No, I need to see more evidence of that. And that's what I'm waiting for. So today is the on-time day for the June Euro to put in, under normal conditions, a bottom. And
I want to
say one more time before let me just say this so people can, because I know people will act sometimes, just you say something and they just go run and do something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Do the right thing and wait, because this isn't as easy and obvious as the silver was, and that's why the silver went out as a free trade. Had this been easy and obvious, at least as far as I'm concerned, I would have already messaged this out. It's not easy and obvious yet, or easy and obvious enough yet. So we have the potential for a bottom on June 9th plus one day, and I would be very interested in trading that if the market confirms. I'm not trading it now. I swear to you that I'm not in any position. I'm not trying to, you know, get in ahead of anybody or do anything like that. I'm flat in the Euro. I'm waiting for the easy and obvious, because I'm not trying to get an extra edge on my existing edge. I already have an edge. And if you try to get an edge on your edge and you do that too much, guess what you don't have anymore? An edge. So the edge that I have is perfectly good enough for me, and I'm perfectly happy to wait for the market to show me what I need to see if I want to put that edge to use. You know, the edge meaning a particular approach, technique, insight, understanding of what markets normally do and how you would normally trade them. So,
you want to hear a real life story, a real life true story?
Sure.
This is for real. I got a phone call the other day from someone who was interested in the free trial and potentially becoming a CFRN partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed their history and background and whatnot. And they said that they were currently correct 80% of the time. And I said, we can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. I'm pretty sure I could pick up, you know, a thing or two, you know, and add that to what I'm already doing. And I said, nope. There's two things on the table here. One, you're telling me you're right 80% of the time and you're still looking. So that's, I don't know. But here's the deal. If you really are already right 80% of the time, I'm not going to risk messing with that. I'm not going to break it, bend it, or dull your edge with something I might bring to the table. So the answer is, we appreciate your interest, but no.
Well, that's a very, I like that answer, actually. And I want you to know that it is extremely unlikely that anybody is 80%, is correct 80% of the time. For a particular sample, for a particular number of trades, a person could do that. But as you go out over time, when a person says I'm 80% correct or whatever, and I'm not making fun of the guy, I'm certainly not.
No,
I'm just
not
saying anybody who says that is referring to a certain group of trades that he's taken. And to be just very blunt and honest with you, it's extremely difficult to be correct 80% of the time over a large number of trades. So the person saying that in most cases is talking about a run that he's had. That's very good if you can have a run like that where you're correct 8 times. Think about that. 8 times out of 10. That's a really highly skilled dude.
That is.
That can do that.
That is.
And
either way, I couldn't justify touching it.
Yeah. No, I really like that answer. I think that's brilliant, actually. It's like, you know what, that's fabulous that we don't have anything for you. You know, because that doesn't, we don't want to wreck what you're doing, number one, and we're not doing 80%.
Yeah.
So, we might be actually hurting you by doing that. Now, remember, the percentage thing, this is another junior high school thing, and I still have a little of it in me. It's worthless to talk about win-loss ratio. It is worthless. It has no meaning at all. In the end, it has zero meaning. And why does it have zero meaning? Because there's people who are millionaires who are wrong 8 times out of 10, but they sure know how to hold and trade their position when they're right.
Yeah.
And there's people who are right 6 times out of 10, and they trade very small moves, and yet because they can be consistently right 6 times out of 10, they make their money. It just doesn't matter. You know, who it matters to are people who are who haven't really absorbed the bigger picture that we're really talking about your ability to make money and have more money than you started with, no matter what the numbers are, no matter how they lay out. And just for your information, if you've ever worked it out mathematically, it gets more and more difficult for every new trade you take. I forgot exactly, I used to know this right off the top of my head, but it gets more and more difficult for you to maintain whatever your percentage is every new trade you take. It gets harder and harder to stay at 80%. So as an example, if you had, let's just say you had 10 trades in a row and you had 8 that had won, you could legitimately say on that run I had 8 out of 10 winning trades. And that is, no one can say that isn't a nice thing. I'm just saying it's not important in your career, because your career doesn't exist in that little window. Your career exists if over a number of years. And then if you traded your next 2 trades, if only one of them was a winning trade, you've already dropped down. And the larger your trade sample gets, the harder it is for you to maintain, and you have to have 4 and 5 trades in a row again to catch up to that 80% and just be able to maintain that. It gets really difficult as the numbers get larger. If you want to, when you have a few minutes of free time, take a calculator and do 8 out of 10, and then say, well, what if my 11th trade was a loss? Figure out, well, what would I have to do? And then when you get to the 20th trade and the 30th trade, and you keep inching up, you'll find out that you really have to have a lot of winning trades to maintain, and it gets harder and harder to maintain the 80%.
Let me give you a real-world example right now. We just started tracking this out of fun because it was an anomaly, and the web guy goes, oh, you should put that on the website because it's really true, and where price had closed inside of our weekly trading zones just consistently because it's a playing field, and the fact that it closes inside of the playing field, it's not necessarily a moneymaker, it's just an interesting anomaly. And so anyway, it was at 96, and then more time went by, and it went to 95, and then it went to 94, and then as more weeks, we're up to like week 78 now, I think, of calculating that thing. Now here's the deal. If it closes outside of the zones this week, that's going to drop. We're currently down to 92%. If it closes out of the zones this week, that's going to drop us down to 91. I need that thing to close inside of the zones 5 weeks in a row to notch me back up to 93. So in other words, 1 week outside is going to knock me down a full percentage point to 91. I got to be inside 5 weeks consistently to take me from 92% back up to 93. That's the exact thing
later,
you're talking about.
Exactly. And then later, when your trade sample size, when the number of weeks gets up to hundreds of weeks, it'll take you 8 weeks of successful, proper being right just to get one percentage point back.
Yeah, to negate 1 week of not being right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just to get one percentage point back, you have to really do more and more winning trades. So that's what I'm saying. Over a career, it's very difficult to do that. And the beautiful thing, though, is that it isn't really necessary. What is necessary is that you know what you're doing in the markets. You learn how to trade. You learn how to manage the risk, and you learn how to trade with an edge, which is you have some piece of knowledge that puts you ahead, or a trading system, you know, whether it's Dwayne's and Michael's or whatever, ours, anybody else's, that you have something that puts you ahead and has a real edge in the market, not an imaginary edge because it worked once or twice, but something that's got something real about it that has a consistent and persistent edge over the market. And then that's all you need. Then from that point forward, the win-loss ratio starts meaning less and less, and the idea is, how much money do you make? I wonder what Michael's, our friend that does the big trading, I wonder what his win-loss ratio is. It's probably pretty poor, to be honest. But he makes tons of money because when he's got it right, he hits it really hard. He knows when he's got it right, and he's all in. And he really, that's where the rubber meets the road for him. So don't worry too much about the win-loss ratio. And for people that walk around saying, well, we have an 80%, 90%, whatever it is, just understand if you do the math yourself and sit down, you'll find how difficult it is or how difficult it would be to maintain that over any period of time. And it gets more and more difficult because just to get one percentage up, you now have to make 10 winning trades in a row. See what I'm saying? Because the number sizes are getting bigger to maintain your 80%. You went down to 79, well, now you need to do 10 in a row just to get your 1% back. And when it gets even bigger than that, you have to do 30 or 40 in a row. You see?
Crazy.
And it gets harder and harder until finally the words are meaningless. I mean, you don't have an 80% win-loss ratio. And it's not only you not have it, but it's not necessary and all that stuff. And sometimes when people call and ask about somebody's method, they want to make it very clear that they don't need it. Instead of just saying, yeah, I'm trying to get some help with my trading, I'm not doing real well, or I'm doing okay, but I think I need something. People want to let you know, because we get that. Sometimes people do that. They want to let you know that, hey, I'm doing fabulous. I'm winning 8 out of 10 trades. Just want to see what you guys got, that kind of thing. Sometimes people feel compelled to let you know that they're really, you don't have to look down at me, and we're not looking down at you. I mean, we know how difficult trading is. We know how it all comes together. Nobody's judging you or playing the junior high school thing, but these people are because they often feel that they have to put themselves on the developer's, what they perceive to be the developer's level, and say, well, I'm not going to come to you like a, with my hat in my hands. I'll come to you telling, it's like walking up to a girl and saying, yeah, I've got a Ferrari, I've got this, I've got that, whatever. You can't wait to tell her that so she knows that she's dealing with the real deal or whatever. That all comes from weakness. I don't know if you've recognized that before, but you're dealing life from weakness. Every time you do that, you're coming from weakness. And what does that mean? It means that you think you need to do that. You think you need to do all these things, and you don't. And because you think you do, you're coming from weakness. And what is the weakness? The weakness is that you think you need it. And that means it's dependency, and you depend on that. And before you know it, you can't be real because you live in this world of always having to, to prop yourself up with something that's just a bunch of nonsense. You'll be a much, much happier person, trust me, when you see through the false need of having to prove yourself to people, prove your, whatever it is, on whatever level, and let just be yourself. It's such a wonderful thing to be able to come home to yourself and not have to be out there, junior highing yourself. I mean, I'm at the point in my life where I believe that most people never got over junior high, because so many people are doing this. I'm not talking down anybody. I've been the same guy and done all the stuff myself. But I'm seeing it as the worthless wasteland that it is, and I don't want to live my life that way. And I feel great not living my life that way, to be honest with you. It's not that I'm perfect, not that I won't make a brag or something from time to time, but for the most part, I'm not living my life to do that. I want to be comfortable in my own skin. I want to be comfortable in my own skin in front of you or not in front of you. I want to be comfortable in my own skin wherever you are. Not because of you, not in spite of you, none of that. And that's what weakness is always doing. It's always measuring and always seeing how it thinks it measures up. You got a much better life to live than that. So, anyway, I know I always delve into something like that in these talks, but I, you know, being happy is an important part of your life.
Name that song, David Williams.
I do remember that song.
Let me kick the record player.
There we go.
It's stuck on that track. Teenage Wasteland.
Yeah.
Junior high. Teenage Wasteland.
That's what it is. You've nailed it. I mean, Dwayne's actually pretty good at that. He's taking these themes, and he found Teenage Wasteland because we're talking about nobody graduated from junior high school. Dwayne, I got to give it to you. You know, you're...
All right.
You're an amazing human being.
He looks out over the studio audience, shakes his luxurious mane...
All right, so all right. Back to the euro. Let's just finish up with the euro. Let's wait until tomorrow on the euro. Even if they reverse here and go jump higher or whatever, we'll figure something out to do with it. But this is how I roll. You know, I'm on the program. You're asking me. That's how I roll.
This
I'm not
is
ready
how you
to take
roll?
It yet.
Your roll?
And that's right. And if somebody wanted to... now I'm just going to say this, just if this don't necessarily take this as a trade, but if somebody wanted to, they could take the 144.60 level or slightly higher and enter now and basically use that as any break of that or hourly close of that would get you out. That would be very aggressive to do that. Okay, if you were very aggressive, a person could start a trade there with that kind of idea, and that's just the one thing I would suggest. Or
what price do you show right now, David?
I'm showing 144.69.
Okay.
And I
yeah.
may...
No,
that, is that correct?
That's what I've got, yeah.
Yeah, so it's about 9 ticks above that. And if they were to move lower, if you didn't take that one, I might do the same thing with 144.42 or something like that as well. But these are that's just for the people that might be extremely aggressive. I'm not going to touch that. I have no interest in it until I see. But you know why I have no interest? Because I know the size of the move that they're going to make out of this, if this is correct, is going to be large enough for us to be happy for a nice, long, big move. So I'm not worried, you know, that whole thing, oh, I might miss it, oh, I might miss some of it, all that stuff that goes through your head that makes you do the wrong thing at the wrong time. I don't roll that way. I want to get in when I know everything looks right, and I don't want to be in otherwise. I trade by exception. This stuff has to be so good. I don't come to the office saying I'm a trader. I come to my office saying I'm a office guy.
Because you totally can't afford to mess this up because you've got a rock opera to finance.
I have a rock opera to finance, that's right. And it's your rock opera. Michael Bork is going to write it. You're going to be the head guy on stage. You're either going to be the head guy with the long hair or you're going to be the roadie. I'm not sure which one
I'm both.
Is more appropriate.
We got a tight budget here. You're financing it. We got a tight budget. I got to do both jobs. That's in the
script. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so let's see. The euro is interesting, and let's take a few look at it. A couple other markets here, and then I'll get out of your hair here. I know we've been going
that's
on for a
lot
while
of hair.
Here. That is a lot of hair. Coffee.
We got Alan on base. All right, thank you, Alan.
Alan on base. There you go. And I know he's probably just as good at base as. You are at hair. No, just joking.
What market next? I'll bring it up.
I don't know. I was looking at crude, and there's I don't have much in that today, but I am interested now that I have the correct market. Crude's up a little bit today, so we'll keep an eye on that. We have the EU. We've got gold. Let's take a quick look at gold as well. That's another one.
GGC. Any idea what month? G or M? What
do you mean? We're in Q right now for gold.
Q? I got there something wrong here. I don't even have a Q. I got a GGCM1. I got no Qs.
You got
hey,
no
Bert, are you there?
Bert would help you with that.
Bert would help me. Hey, guys, somebody on DT Pro, tell me what the gold symbol would be. Gold symbol.
That's the James Bond theme song.
I don't have enough hands to Google that.
For just you don't rather than waste the time with it right now.
All
right. I'm going to watch for June 14th. You might want to write that date down. Right around that time is going to be somewhat important in gold. There's minor, smaller stuff between now and then, and we may even trade off of that. But there's a number of indications about June 14th, so we want to keep our eye open for that as well. coming up for gold.
I've got a price of 15. 41.10, is that the price you have on gold?
15.42.80, I may be delayed, but I'm not sure.
15.41, I'm sorry, 15.41 is what I'm showing.
Okay.
Because I brought up the June contract in gold, GGCM, but you may be looking at something different. And you say you're looking for what now?
Well, just the 14th. I'm going to wait. Or there is a couple things before then, but I think the 14th is one of the bigger ones that I would like to lay. You know, have people just keep an eye and just make a note, and we'll talk about it as we approach it. That's Tuesday of next week.
Thank you, Joe. Joe just gave me the right symbol for any DT Pro traders. GGCQ1. Thank you very much, Joe. And I'm showing a price of 15.41.50.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So we have things. We have copper is coming up. We have something potentially coming up in copper. So the biggest thing we have for today, let's just leave it at that, is the silver setup. And we've got a lead in that position, but I do want to suggest to people that they use on the overnight, because we did trade off of the one day early. Let's just be careful with it and make sure that we don't let too much happen on the overnight. If they're going to show us correctly, they'll stay above those levels that we talked about earlier, and then we can have a nice, stay with it and make some money with it. So they're trading at $37.34 right now. Is silver $50 per dollar? Am I correct about that? Or $50 per penny? That's what it is, $50 per penny.
Well, that's on the big contract.
Yeah, that's on the big
contract. That's the one that has $27,000 margin requirement. The one that has $5,000 margin requirement, that one is... $10 per penny.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. Well, and then, of course, the S&P is really quiet here, so we're just going to wait for a little
now,
bit more action here.
This silver, okay, David, because let me just say, on the chart I have in front of me, which is this, kind of a small time frame, intraday type chart, potentially a short setting up here, which I could use to, navigate down to, what would be your... Like, if you could get your very best entry price here for the long position that you've put out for the big picture long trade, can you say that number again? Just curious.
Seriously, I don't have the... Okay. We need to put that thing up because I don't have that in front of me, what we sent out early this morning.
Hang on, I got it right here. Bird selector, go. Okay. What am I looking for? I've got it up in front of me. So we're at 37.33. Silver can be bought at or near 36.30.
That's if they were going to go all the way down and test that. We would do that. At this point, I'm not sure that I'd want to buy a pullback at that point. I might, that's that was earlier today.
Because I was thinking about shorting it here down to that entry, but you're saying this trade might be done?
No, the trade's not done.
But you wouldn't want to buy a pullback?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Did you say you would not want to buy a pullback?
Well, first of all, I don't think they're going to do that today necessarily. If they did it tomorrow, here's a better way of saying it. The pullback that we mentioned, the 36, whatever, 33, whatever the number was, that's really kind of valid for today. Maybe I should have made that clear. Because, remember, since we're trading off of the one day early, it's possible, but put it this way, if tomorrow they're coming down, I'm not sure I want to be a buyer.
Okay.
Unless, you know, if they're coming down to those levels, like 36, 33, I'd want to see that firm up. And then, because normally this would be a, this would be for a pretty quick move up from where we are, you know, from yesterday's low. That's the kind of setup this would be.
Okay.
So, that was really valid for today. So, anyway, and then for the people, like I said before, if you want to be more conservative with this, which is totally valid, you can wait for a breakout and just make less money with more certainty. The breakout above 37.53, 37.54 hourly or daily close above that, and we still have a decent trade up there. I mean, in the large contract anyway, which I don't know if many people are trading in that, but a 30-cent move is $1,500, so there would still be easily 30 cents less.
Have you played with this, David?
Yeah, the Google thing. Johnny pointed it out to me today, but we're doing a radio program right now, Dwayne.
Oh.
I wasn't sure if you're aware there's people listening, and we can play with that a little
it.
Later.
I saw the thing, but I didn't realize you could actually play it until just now, so I'm going to have
lots
of fun.
I'm wondering if some of the beer that you soak your hair in actually gets into your brain.
No.
I just don't know if that's the case or not during the program.
It's non-alcoholic beer. That's why it doesn't shine as much as it used to. Well, the hops and barley are not quite right.
So just between the two markets that are in interest right now, is Euro's critical, and so is the silver. So we'll watch that into tomorrow. And I think, unless there's any other questions, since it is so quiet, if there were any questions, I'd be very happy to go over any kind of details.
Yeah, you know, when we first fired up, there were some
so
hands
quiet.
In the air. And then we rambled on for like 1 hour and 47 minutes, and so those people have now put their hand down, and I think left the auditorium. So, is there anyone that would like to take the mic, come to the forefront, ask a question, share a comment, sing a tune,
share an insight,
recite
how's
a poem.
How about sharing an insight into what you've seen in the market, or something like that?
A question just popped up. I think you've probably covered it, but maybe not. We talked about the euro at length. The question is, do you have any euro targets?
We will give you the euro targets tomorrow because the target is going to be related to how they handle June 9th.
Okay.
So that's why I would rather not give it out now because it's not valid yet. The validity of the target actually will be valid when we understand where we are in this setup. The euro could have done a number of things that would have made this a lot easier. They didn't, and so that's why I step aside and I like to just relax and not worry about it. And it's either a missed trade or it's a or it turns out to be a really good one. And we'll wait for tomorrow to see. So that's
come on, guys. We got a room full of people. Nobody wants to take the mic. That's okay. No pressure.
Well, that's all right.
No.
Well, Dwayne, it might be difficult. Some people may not have anything to say, or maybe we've said everything necessary.
Well, I told them on the blog last night, I said, look, you got to go unplug your headset from the gaming console. Okay? Stop screaming at the screen for a little while. Plug it into your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Blow the dust off that jack down there. But,
there you go.
You know, I understand. Man's entitled to his peace and quiet. So there'll be days when people will be talkative, and other days they won't. But now
right,
that
and
we've
I was just
opened
mentioning,
that
because we're
door,
so quiet today, yeah. It's everything is the market. The S&P is just standing still. So even though we've run over our time here, if there was anything anybody wanted to discuss, bring up an idea, whatever, that's fine. And if not, then we'll just wait for the overnight on silver and for euro tomorrow, and we'll put something together. You know,
that sounds
you gotta
like
love
a deal.
Trading.
You got to.
You've got to love Dwayne Reeves for reasons that none of us understand. And I understand that no one is really sure why they love him. You have to admit you love him.
We discussed this earlier in the show today. It's a popular misconception that it is easy to be Dwayne Reeves. And I want to tell you, brother, it's not.
It's not easy.
It's no easy task.
Well, there you are.
All right. We'll leave it at that.
So. Okay, well, listen, thanks for whatever questions we had. I apologize we didn't get to them earlier, and those guys may be gone.
They were probably it was probably kind of like throwing spitballs, you know, mess with the teacher, that kind of thing.
Well, Dwayne, thank you for having me on the program. I will be here tomorrow. Tomorrow's
right.
Friday.
Sounds good.
Everybody's working for the weekend, aren't they, Dwayne?
Yeah. Little Bruce. Is that Bruce?
Haven't you noticed that?
Everybody. I need a stagehand. I need an extra set of hands.
You need an assistant now.
You know, I have jazz hands, but what I really need are stage hands. I need somebody that can Google all this stuff up for me, like, really quick, you know, and then just shoot it over into my browser. Because it takes me, and it's not Bruce, it's, who knows, who sings that song?
It's not Bruce, no.
No, it's not.
It's like an 80s song, or maybe even a 70s. I can't remember.
Lover Boy! Hi, David Williams! See you tomorrow. Techo nailed it. Lover Boy, way to go. All right, that's enough hijinks for one day. The market could go higher if it doesn't start to break down. Where have I heard that before? Upside target, 1,300, if we continue in a northerly direction. Watch this swing high right here. That could tell you something. My preferable trade, if I... you'll allow me the luxury of a preferable trade, would be a breakdown below right here, 1289. And then I would like to short that back down into this area somewhere. I think that would just be a nice, easy trade if it rolled over that way. But it may not. I mean, it may continue to stretch. And, the markets need it. If it continues to go, you got to look left. Okay, where did it run into trouble before? 1295, right there. Remember, it tried really hard all day Tuesday. It was really... candles went blue. Look at this on the hourly chart. We had red, bearish for days. Then we get potential change of trend. The market tries really hard here, you know. And then sticks its head up out of our little box and gets whacked all the way down to here. Okay? White candles. We're trying... this white candle here serve no purpose other than to caution you. Here we get some white action, and then we up. Watch when we get here. That deserves a line. I'm going to give that a line of its own. Yeah. Good enough. Okay. So if price can take out this swing high, there's trouble here, there's a target there. Again, my preference... and I'll trade whatever's in front of me if I'm at my desk. I don't know that I'll be sitting here, because I've been sitting here now for a few hours. So I'm going to get up, move about, a little circulation. I think a cup of Starbucks is in order. And maybe one of those breakfast sandwiches with the turkey bacon. Those are really good. If you've not had one of those, you're denying yourself one of life's simple pleasures. And, you know, they're not that expensive. They're like $2.50. Okay. Can you make a sandwich cheaper at home? Yes. I'm just saying. It's not a complete ripoff like a grande mocha frappuccino $9 cup of coffee. I mean, this is actually nutrition, and it's $2.50, and did I mention it tastes really good, and it's not bad for you, turkey bacon? Well, not as bad as regular bacon, anyway. Well, let me add that to the show notes. Turkey bacon. Okay. All right. Oh, thank you, Alan. We will be in ZCU Corn tomorrow. You know what? Because of the late hour of the day and the time that the corn markets close. Here's that silver. Okay. Now, here's if anybody's of a contrarian mind here, trade on the silver. See, we got the bearish cross, we got the pullback. Man, a break below this 37.30 might, if you're, maybe you're just long and you're just waiting for this thing to go higher. But if you're looking for some little intraday thing, but then silver may be about to close as well. Bert would have to tell me. But I'm not trading it, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But I will, thank you, Alan. I'll change my corn to ZCU. Okay. Yeah, it looks a little spotty today, doesn't it? So, Alan, when does that? When does this month, volume-wise, what can you tell me, Alan? I'm new to this corn business. That doesn't look like a full participation kind of thing. Let me bring in some more data. You don't know? Oh, okay. But you are certain that tomorrow we should make the switch? Or does the new contract just become available tomorrow? Because, that's December, right? Well, we were already in September. No, I'm sorry. U is September, right? Joe says tomorrow might be a little early to make the switch. Okay. All right. Well, good to know that it's on the horizon, that it's coming, and we'll talk to Bert first thing in the morning. Talk to Bert first thing in the morning and find out what day we need to switch that corn up. Let's look at what happened today again. Okay, got this little bounce here. And it looks like it wants to go lower, but there's only 15 minutes left in the market, so I'm not gonna trade into the close on it. I'm gonna let it go. Had a nice trade in the corn earlier, so I'm good with that. There was one other thing I was gonna mention. Well, it escapes me. So, partners, I hope you make it to the partners meeting tonight. Come with your questions. Michael's going to open up, then I'll be there when he opens up, and let's get right at your questions, and let's cover as much as we can, as quickly as we can. So I want to cover. It's not that I want to do it quick. It's just that I want to accomplish as much as we can during the time we have allotted. So, guys, come prepared. And there's some of the things, like, there's some technical things that we can help you with outside of that class, or like Bert can help you with, or the tech guy can help you with, or Michael can help you with via email, or by, you know, logging into your computer or launching a webinar and walking you through it. Not that we won't discuss anything that you need an answer for in the class tonight. We will. Just saying that if you have some pressing issue, you don't have to wait for the partners meeting. You can get help ahead of time. So, yeah, that's probably a better way of saying that. And for anyone who's on the free trial and who wants to become a partner, you want more information, what does it entail, what does it cover, what does it cost, you know, what's your obligations, will you be required to serve active duty in a foreign country, you need to send Michael an email, tech, T-E-C-H, at cfrn.net. T-E-C-H at cfrn.net. If you're on a demo or running the simulator with Daniel's Trading or in the process of getting your account opened with Daniel's Trading, Bert and Leslie, they are your point of contact there. You can reach them at 866-928-3310. 866 928-3310. Final question just popped up. Bill wants to know. Oh, Tom, I see your question now. You'll get an email here. You'll get an email before the meeting tonight that has the link to get into the partners meeting. Whatever email address we have on file for you, that's where we'll send it. What I'll do is I'll try to get it done in the next, you know what? Why don't I do this? Once I sign off the program, I will compile the email for the partners meeting. I'll then hit the send button. I'll then go get my delicious cup of Starbucks coffee and my turkey bacon sandwich. And if you don't have your invitation, if you're a partner and you don't have your email invitation to the partners meeting tonight within the next hour, then something's amiss. And shoot an email out to me or Michael one, and we'll fix it, whatever it is. But we send everything to the email address you signed up with, the one we have on record, on file, etc. Another question from William, Bill. If we roll over on the ES tomorrow, do the trading zones change by price spread between M and U contracts? No, that's a great question, and it was of great concern for me early on when I first started doing the zones. You know, how's this going to pan out and what's going to happen? And you know what? Interestingly enough, it doesn't affect the zones. The zones still seem to work and still have that same nature, that same magnetic quality. Now, I asked David a question today about his natural number thing, and you heard his answer in regards to that. I thought I would need to recalculate the zones based upon the new contract, but over a period of time, I saw that that was not the case, that in fact, those zones, even though price shifts down the page, so to speak, so you get busy in another set of zones than the ones you were previously busy in because of the change, they still do the same thing. They still act like magnets. They still serve as support and resistance. You can still trade to them as targets, get on the other side of them as a stop. So great question, and I had that very same question until I lived through it and traded through it, and now I see how it works. All right. I guess that's all of the questions, and so that's going to do it. Thanks, guys, so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-host and guest. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.